besties. Okay, don't get mad at me. Okay, I know it's been forever. You know what? Life gets in the way, and we all know that I'm really, really, really bad at editing these things. Okay? I'm really bad. My brain doesn't let me do it. You know what? Anyway. Today, I get to chat with a friend of mine, Brennan. And Brennan has his own podcast, actually, and he does much better at posting every week. So if you really want a weekly musical theater educational thing where he interviews people, you should listen to Brennan's podcast. It's called From BA to Broadway. And the whole basis is learning basically what you're going to get in a BA or a BFA. Some of the basics of the theater industry without actually needing to pay the $90,000 bajillion dollars that it takes to get a BFA or a BA in school. It's a fun reminder and a nice reminder that you do not need a degree to be in theater, to do theater, to make art. That's literally not a thing. You don't need it. And he talks about resumes, he talks about auditions, he talks about acting. I mean, he talks about a lot of things. That being said, do I think that you should take classes when you want to be on, doing theater and stuff? Yes, I do. I think you should be taking classes, take dance classes, take voice classes, take acting classes, go to auditions, do things like that. However, there are plenty of people on the Broadway who don't have a musical theater degree. They booked out of high school. They worked on Wall Street. I mean, Jessica Vosk was doing maths and stuff before working with money before she became Broadway's Jessica Vosk. Anyway, this is my interview with Brennan. And I don't know. Let's get started, right? All right, well, we've started, but I'm not keeping track of really what's happening.
Okay, great.
Anyway, not much has been going on at this point. I've just been watching Fraggle Rock.
Watching what?
Fraggle Rock? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, I was just put onto this show called Fraggle Rock. It's Jem Henson. I love a Muppet. I love a puppet show, you know. And Fraggle Rock is one of his first little shows.
I don't.
But it's been redone or like revived or whatever on Apple TV with.
Like completely new, or are they just like.
Yeah, like it's like John Tartaglia and. You know, we love John, but they just announced season two and Catherine O'Hara is like voicing, Ariana DeBose is in it. Like they have a bunch of very famous voices joining the Fraggle Rock for season two. And I was like, my friend shared it. What?
What is it about?
These creature things that are called Fraggles and they live on a rock. So naturally, this place was called Fraggle Rock.
As it should be. Damn. Yeah.
It's great.
Great.
But it's fun and there's music and singing because it is Jem Henson and it's just fun little, but it's all on YouTube. So I'm watching like the OG show first before I get to the actual little revival that's happening.
Great.
Which honestly, it's like a child, it's like a childhood show, but I mean, it is a childhood, it's a kid show, but it's also like a wonderful 30-minute little just existing thing that you don't really have to necessarily pay attention to, but you can if you want to. And it's got music and fun little looking weird character things. And
we love that.
You know?
Yeah, man. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Fraggle Rock.
All right. We're here with Brennan.
Hey,
everybody. I was going to say you should introduce yourself now that we're 2 minutes into the episode.
Oh, that was part of the podcast.
We're gonna keep it. It's going in there.
Amazing. Hey everybody, I'm Brennan. What's going on?
tell the people about yourself.
My name is Brennan Stefanik. Brennan Stefanik. I come from a small town in Massachusetts that nobody has ever heard of, even if you live in Massachusetts. I now live in New York City. I am an actor. I am a podcast host. I am some other things as well, but those are the two things we're focusing on right now nowadays. And yeah, that's me.
Boom, there you go. What are you sipping on today?
I have a lovely Moscow Mule that is
Hey.
already half empty. So we're going to need a refill in the near future, but we're rocking and rolling for now.
You know what? There you go.
What
For
are you? What
anyone
are you?
wondering, I'm sipping on poppy soda, which is a prebiotic soda.
Oh, lovely.
It's like healthy soda.
And it's root beer flavored. It isn't root beer.
It's not root beer. It is root beer flavor, and it's for a healthy gut. It's got
Wow.
like infused with apple cider vinegar, but it's just like flavor. It like f is tastes like root beer, kind of sort of ish.
Horrible, but if you like it, I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, they have a bunch of different flavors. I normally drink the orange soda one, but they have like regular Coke and lemon lime and raspberry lemonade and all these other flavors.
Poppy. I'm learning so much
I
today.
know. Okay, so this podcast has no rhyme or reason. So at this point, anything is game.
Let's do it.
Yeah, tell me about your podcast a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's your most controversial opinion? But that's probably a better topic to go with. I am the host of a new podcast called From BA to Broadway. And it is essentially like an actor's survival guide. For those folks who can't afford to go to college, or for those folks who can't afford to go to the prestigious programs that really get you prepared for the professional world out there of musical theater and theater in general. So I bring a new guest on every week, and we talk about all the things that you A, don't learn in college, or B, shouldn't have to pay thousands of dollars to learn. So yeah, we kind of take you step by step, right from how to find an audition, and we're just going along to every little tidbit along the way.
And you just had our friend Katie Garrity on.
The one and only Miss Catherine Katie Garrity. Yeah, it was a hoot and a half. We talked about we talked about resumes. That was
Resumes.
the theme of the episode. However, we talked about like very deep life advice in the midst of all of that. And yeah, I met Katie in college, so she was
Yeah.
a senior when I was a freshman. So naturally, she was very qualified for this From BA to Broadway programming, because she did indeed receive that same Bachelor of the Arts degree that I got and has been on Broadway. So she's doing the thing. She's doing exactly what it's built for. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, we harass each other, we share some wisdom, and that's that.
I feel like you can't have a conversation with Katie without her dropping some truth bombs, some wisdom bombs.
Oh, yeah. And like, I don't know, since the moment I met her, it has very much been like a big sister, little brother vibe too. So like, I don't know, there is the wisdom that comes in that, and then there's also the pure malarkey and shenanigans that comes with that, and I
Yeah.
wouldn't have.
She pops up on this podcast literally every episode. I mentioned her at least once. It's kind of like now at this point I'm like I have to say her name at least once, even if she has no reason of being. I just have to yell out Katie Garrity, and then you can say that she's.
That's kind of cringy for me. I'm also the friend in her life that keeps her humble. So I don't know. This feels like we're giving her like another Horcrux or something, and I don't know if I can allow that.
I do talk a lot about Anne Juliet. Is mentioned a lot on this podcast, and so is Into the Woods. So she does flow in pretty easily to the conversation.
That's so valid. Two amazing shows. I'm a big Anne Juliet stan, I gotta say.
I am as well.
I've seen it. Okay. I've seen it. Let's see. One, two, three. I think I've seen it four times now.
I think I've seen a five. I think I'm one up of you.
Okay, that's great. And like there's always been an occasion. I'm not just like going to fangirl for sure, but like
Oh, yeah.
I am a fangirl. I'll admit that. I love it. It slaps. It is a brilliant jukebox situation that I haven't seen anything like in a long, long time, you know? I think it's the Mamma Mia of this day and age.
Yeah, that's what I always say that. I'm like, last time I was chatting with Katie about this show, she said that, and that's how I describe it to literally.
That maybe I'm repeating her own words.
That's what she said. She said that on the podcast. She was one of the first people I had. And the only reason her episode turned into a podcast is because shopping at Bryant Park because I was like, you know what would be so cool if I hooked us up to mics and we just went shopping and chatted about theater, but also we're like, oh my gosh, look at the corgi PJs.
Love that.
And the video, I only had one person doing video, so the video was chopped up a bunch. So I just had an hour-long audio, and I was like, you know what? It sounds really crazy because it's trying to do some weird vocal isolation thing that's not really working for these little $20 lapel mics. But you know what? We're gonna turn it into a
Is that how the
podcast episode.
podcast like officially started? Damn.
Yep.
Amazing. I'm about to burp. Is this a pro burp podcast?
It can be.
Okay. I j oh no, it's left. It's
Oh no.
departed. Maybe
It said
later.
actually, never mind. I don't wanna make an appearance to that.
God, that's yeah, no. She's shy. She's shy. She'll make her
Yeah.
appear.
Yeah, no, that's how the podcast started. I've been doing interviews and things like that for years now, but then I just kind of was like, putting on makeup for to be on a Zoom for an hour seems like a lot of work.
That's one thing that I do love is that I am looking like trash right now. I really and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. We're great. We're doing great.
Yeah.
No, it's me.
Well, and over the pandemic, I was still doing like video podcast or video interviews. So I would let people know. I would be like, just so you know, this is being recorded and this will be edited and you this vi like this is the video that will be on the thing.
Well, I really appreciate you not doing that to me tonight
You're
because
welcome.
for that.
I do. I have done a few times, like with my friends, where we've like filmed random bits so I can like post on social media. But then I'm like, that's just another thing that I gotta edit.
Heard. Oh my God, yeah, it's a lot.
Do
It's a
you edit
lot.
your own podcast?
Do I'm at the point right now where I can't afford to hire anyone for that, which is fine. I'm still in the early stages, but I would like to be able to monetize it soon enough and then hire some people because I have learned a lot and I do feel confident about my abilities to do it, but it just takes so much time that I just don't have right now. And so
It
I'm like,
takes
yeah.
it's insane how much time it takes to edit a podcast. And for me, I for some reason my headphones like to make it sound like I'm really loud and
Oh, okay.
I'm not. I just uploaded the podcast that I just uploaded in my brain when I was editing. I was like, this sounds great. Uploaded it. It's on. It's live. I'm listening to it and I'm like, Binta sounds like she is yelling at me on Zoom, and I'm just over here in the corner talking like this. Like, it was the weirdest thing. So I had to go re-edit the whole podcast as fast as I could and then re-upload it. And I was able to do it in like 2 hours, but I was like, man, that I spent all that time cutting and editing and making all of our audio levels what I thought was great.
Yeah. I mean, also just I'm also a procrastinator. I will be the first to admit that. So like, I don't know. I release every Monday for the most part. And then last week I released two episodes because I did an April Fool's episode. So then I gave them a real one the day after. But I was up till like 3 a.m. just editing just so I could put it out in the morning. And it was all my own fault for sure. But also that was the Katie episode and the little software that I used to like smooth things out just like got rid of a bunch of her audio. And so I was like listening back and there was just moments of her not saying anything. And I was like, ah. So I just uploaded the raw whatever. And it sounds a little janky, but whatever. You know,
It is what it is.
I'm not a professional at this. I am simply a boy who gave myself the platform to do this
Yeah.
really by my own volition.
I took a break because of WGA strike and the SAG-AFTRA strike. And then never just I just was like, well, it's done. And I was like, I have at least five podcasts that I could be editing right now that have already been recorded and are ready, and I could just start right away. It did not happen. Binda's podcast, I think we recorded literally in June of last year. That's how
You
long it's been
were
sitting on
standing
my computer.
with the WGA and SAG by not editing those, and I'm going to give you that validation.
Yeah. Well, I was like, we talk about TV and film, and we talk about things that are currently, well, at the time, we're currently still in production or whatever. And I was like, I feel weird posting this if everyone else is just gonna like not do anything. So
Yeah.
that's what
Well,
happened.
I, as a member and representative of the SAG-AFTRA union, hereby grant you pardon for not doing that and
Thank you.
appreciate
Thank you.
this.
Cheers to that.
Yes, cheers to that. Sip, sip, sip.
Okay, so tell me about your journey. So you do have a BA.
I have a Bachelor of the Arts degree in theater, so it is, it's like a very broad spectrum of theater education. You go and you take classes in all different aspects of theater, and then you kind of just like develop your own track along with that. So you start off, you're like quote unquote gen eds in the theater department are like you're doing acting, you're doing dramaturgy, you're doing directing stuff, you're doing technical stuff. So you kind of train in all of those, pick your way, and then you kind of narrow in for the rest of your journey, or you keep it broad, you know, whatever floats your boat. I personally went down the acting and costume design routes. So I spent most of my classes doing performance and then technical costumes and physical design and stuff. And that was kind of my journey through that. However, what I discovered after leaving is that I had started working regionally in costumes, which was awesome. I was very grateful for all of the employment that I received and was offered. But I was seeing all of these people. I was seeing a lot of students in the shows that I was doing already working in regional houses, and doing all these kinds of crazy things and learning these things that I had never heard of. And I was like, wow, I don't feel prepared for the acting part of this. Like, this is just not something that I feel confident in. I mean, I feel confident in my abilities, but like the whole business side of things, I just had no clue how to do. You know, like I didn't know where to find auditions. I didn't know the realistic, like, I don't know, logistics of unions and stuff and all of those different kinds of calls. Like, didn't have any of that. So I had to learn that all on my own. And I was very fortunate that I had started meeting all of these students. So I kind of just befriended them and mooched off their education for the rest of the time that they were going to these prestigious schools and stuff, you know? So I got a secondhand BFA is what I say.
There you go.
Yeah. And so that's kind of how I had to do this. And like I was like starting to do all of that. And also like working in the costume shops and stuff, which I love. I was like sitting there and being like, wow, I'm so close to the thing that I really have the most passion to do, which is perform. You know, it's a very different ball game. And I was just getting such FOMO and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I should give myself the chance to explore this and try and succeed in this. So I kind of put costumes on the back burner to focus on performance. And right when I decided to start doing that, it was let's see, January of 2020. So I went to one or two EPAs and then the world shut down. So I mean, I had more time to learn things, which was great, but nothing was happening and no one knew what the future would be like. So that was kind of that. But honestly, I kind of thrived during the pandemic, I'm not gonna lie. I would say socially, I was very okay with just chilling in my home and
I also very much enjoyed not having to leave my
yeah.
apartment.
And like I was playing like video games like with my friends online, like still having the social interaction without having any like real world responsibilities. And I was able to collect unemployment and was making more money than I had ever made in my life
Right.
in Massachusetts. So yeah, it was, I feel prepared for the next one, you know?
Yeah.
Knock on wood, shame on me. But yeah. So then I emerged from all of that and I was like ready to like start doing the thing. So I moved to New York in January of 2021, and I moved here with three friends from college, and we were living in this four bedroom in Gramercy Park. We were paying $700 a piece. It was like too good to be true. And it was too good to be true because it was infested with mice.
Oh no.
So bad. Like in the walls, you can hear them scurrying around. To this day, if I hear any sort of scuffling noise when it is silent in a room, I have genuine PTSD.
Oh, I have had, I don't even know if it's past tense yet because they like to show up every like 2 or 3 months. But
You
I
have a
do
cat.
have no.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Amazing.
No, at the I have you can see like my cabinets here. Down here, there's a hole somewhere back there. that I can't see and cannot get to. And they would scurry, they would come and they'd eat only my pasta. They only liked my dry pasta. And I've closed up a lot of holes that I've found recently,
Got it.
that I didn't think were really that big, but I forget that mice are weird and can fit through anything that their head can fit through. So, fun fact for anyone who might have mice and you think your hole's too small, it's probably big enough.
Dimes, they're getting through.
They're always getting through, and I had a headshot session. I'm a photographer, and I had a headshot session, and someone was like, "Oh, I want to use this backdrop." And I went, cool. And I went to go grab it, and I went, "We're not using that backdrop. We can't use it because a little mouse had chewed a little hole in it." And I
No.
was like, I thought I was so good. I thought I was clean of mice. I thought there was none left. And I open, and you have to go kind of like through my closet to get to that certain backdrop. And all of a sudden, I started moving things. I saw the little tears of paper, and I was like, ah, man. So once that
Damn,
person
that's an
left,
expensive.
I pulled it out and I cut that whole entire little section off. And I was like, well, there goes ha part of my backdrop.
Womp womp. Yeah,
Yeah.
they really are killer. And like, granted, I would rather have mice than bugs because I do not do bugs. I
No, I don't
cannot.
either.
Cockroaches can't do them. But also, I can't do mice, so I don't know what I'm complaining about in that regard. But yeah, so we lived there for like 2 months before our like demon devil land people were like, we don't want to send exterminators anymore, and we were like, we just don't want to live with vermin. Like, that doesn't seem like too much to ask. But like, in order to get rid of them, they would have had to like demolish walls and like
Yeah.
really pay thousands upon thousands of dollars. So they were like, if you don't like it, you can leave. And we were like, oh, okay, yeah, we're gonna do that. We're gonna just leave. And all of my roommates already had jobs at the time, so like they needed to relocate immediately. But I still didn't. I was still rocking the unemployment from COVID, so I went back to Massachusetts for a little while. I was also like supposed to do a gig that summer and was like, you know what? If it's a month away, maybe I'll stick it out and see if it's happening. Naturally, it didn't. So about a month later, I moved back, but I found this place that I'm currently in. It's been 4 years now, and I absolutely freaking love it. Not a
There you
mouse
go.
anywhere. There it
There it
is.
is.
And yeah, I've been here ever since, and it is absolutely amazing. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for the place in the neighborhood. And I'm also so close to most of the popular studios that people have auditions at. So I'm
There you
rolling
go.
out of bed much later than everybody else. And yeah, it's just a freaking dream. It really is. And I'm Katie's next door neighbor too.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so I want to talk more about your podcast because I actually really love the whole world and what you're doing with that. Do you when you bring people on, do you have like a theme every single like you have like a chosen idea of what you're going to talk about and then like whatever else comes?
So like I have a little like outline of like kind of the order I want to teach things in. So week by week, I will reach out to people and I will say, hey, do you want to come on? We're talking about X topic this week, you know? So right now we're kind of still in like the audition of things. You know, we've done like how to find auditions, the auditions itself, callbacks, dance calls. Right now we just did resumes and headshots comes out tomorrow and stuff. So like we're still kind of in that phase of the beginning of it. And then we'll get more into like the facets of the industry, you know, and how that works. And then we'll get into like moving to New York and all that kind of stuff. And I try and take it like step by step as basic as possible because like I feel like a lot of times people are afraid to ask questions about the quote unquote basics because they don't want to seem like, I don't know, naive in those regards. But like, it's so important to ask those questions. And I would like to give people that platform to not feel awkward about it and just like get that information however they can. So yeah, I just bring on people that I think will be helpful in the topics that we're talking about. And yeah, it's just like a, it's kind of like a classroom kind of thing once every week, you know? But yeah, it's like kind of planned out for the most part. And I don't know, I feel like I'm also like doing it in the order that I had to learn things as well, to kind of like streamline it in an easy way. So hopefully we'll like people will feel prepared by the end of each like segment, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think I also think like the basics are great, but also folks who, especially folks who did Zoom University, aren't under. I mean, I had folks that I was TAing and they didn't know what a book was by the time we got back in person. They didn't know how binders worked. They brought folders, like 3-ring folders, and I was like, a pianist is not going to be able to read this at all. So it's like, and it's so interesting to me because you have the people who are like, well, that's so easy. That's like the first thing you learn. And it's like, well, if you didn't do like,
I mean, also, like, my drama club started, my like high school drama club started my the year, let's see. It was my sophomore year is when the drama club started, you know? And I was still too cool to be in it at that point. So
right.
I joined the following year, which was my junior year, and like, I don't know. It was very much like student driven. Like we had lovely teachers and stuff that were helping and teaching and sponsoring and stuff, but like it was really driven by the students who naturally didn't have that knowledge. Also in this very small town that's not necessarily like very artistically enriched in those regards. So we were really doing most of that on our own like understanding and whatnot. And then I jumped into our little BA program in college and like I wasn't auditioning for a lot of the main stage shows just because, like, I didn't like them. You know, like, they didn't do musical theater at our school. We didn't have a musical theater major. They weren't doing musicals. So, like, I went to the extracurricular theater groups to do that. And that's like where I met Katie and stuff. And it's like those were the outlets to do it. And yes, like, they were operating like more professionally than I had been used to for sure. But like, it's still, I mean, those kinds of environments aren't designed to be like the real world, you know, those are designed to be like families and very supporting and loving, which was so awesome and important for me to like grow as a person. But in those performance regards, like I just wasn't getting the grit of it, which is it's also granted, maybe there shouldn't be so much grit in the real world and professionalism and it shouldn't be so cutthroat, but like that's what it is right now. And I didn't have the wherewithal once I left school. So yeah, it's just it's funky. Theater education is funky. Gatekeeping of information is funky. And like also like the internet is like weirdly unhelpful when it comes to the basics of theater.
It really is. I've literally thought about, because there are a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of very wonderful, talented people on specifically TikTok who know the basics and they understand it all. And they have a lot of followers, myself included, who are still in high school or they're still in middle school and they still want to do theater and they're doing community theater, but they want to move to New York and blah, blah, blah. And I've like had thoughts of being like, what if I just did a little series on TikTok where I'm like, this is your book and this is what a headshot looks like.
We once had a guest professor that came in for a career prep class that I took and was like, yeah, you can just take a picture with portrait mode on your phone and that does it, you know? And that's exactly what I did. You know, I had that as my headshot for like the last 2 years of college, and then I emerged in the real world and I was like, oh God, that's not gonna work. That's just not gonna work, you know?
I think it's a little bit like of a yes, kind of, because I also have seen, so I interned at a casting office and I have also seen headshots that are legitimate like selfies. Like people have just, and I think it's just like an actor's access thing. They had a manager who was like, you have an audition tomorrow, put a photo up, I don't care what it is. And it's
But is
just
there something
never.
that
Yeah, it's just never changed. The only real thing about a headshot is that we see your face. Like that's obviously the point of a headshot. I think some of it's not, I don't enjoy that headshots are as expensive as they are, and I don't enjoy that it is a competitive world when it comes to headshots because I mean, yeah, I've spent many a dollar for a headshot.
that
And
was
I
probably the expense that I've spent the most on in life. Like that was probably the most expensive thing other than rent that I've ever had to,
Yeah.
which is, it's, t this is where I get into this weird gray zone because I'm like, it sucks that this industry is so pay to play. But at the same time, I'm like, if that's what we're working with right now, we got to figure out how to do that so we can get into it. We can get into the heart of it and then make that change, you know? Because like, so hard to make that change from the outside because you don't have any ability. You don't have any ability to do so. You know, it can feel so powerless in that regard. So I feel like a lot of the lessons that I'm teaching and like that kind of information that I am doing is from a very pay to play standpoint, which sucks. That really sucks. And I hate it. But like in terms of setting people up for success right at this moment, that's what we're working with. That's what we got to do.
Yeah. And I talk to clients about that too. And I'm like, you know what? I know why they charge upwards of $800, $900, $1,000. I know, because I can tell you exactly right now why I charge much less than that. Like, I can tell you right now that I'm charging less than I should for my headshots. And it's great. And I'm glad that you're coming because it's a side gig for me. I'm not making, as of now, I have not decided this being my main income, so that's probably why I am as affordable as I am. But also, just for people who want to know, like, we are paying for the hours that we spend editing your headshots, we are paying for our equipment, we are paying for the time it takes to set up our equipment. It's the same as, you know, if you go work your retail job and you want to get paid your $17 an hour, our $17 an hour just happens to be all of the hours it takes to edit. To, you know, headshots aren't just the click of the photo. So if people are wondering, that is why headshots are as expensive as they are, but it is still up to the photographer of how much they want to charge and how much their time is worth. Not in a mean way. That's just like,
yeah. It's like, know. Also, like, I don't know, especially most of the best headshot photographers are in this New York area, you know, and then naturally cost of living here is one of the most expensive in the country, never mind like the world and stuff. So naturally costs are going to be high because these people A are professionals and extremely well trained and better than the rest, but also
that's how they make their living.
They need to be able to support their costs of living. They also need to pay rent on another space that is outside of their home usually. It's how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
It's how you living. That's how you survive.
But
it's also tough because I'm like, I also live most of my life by just like kind of breaking even and like fluctuating over that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I would like to get out of that as well. But that's the way to like make a living and be able to save and do all that kind of stuff as an artist, you know?
Yeah. I like telling folks that a good thing to do is, you have your art, you have your acting, you have, you know, whatever that is. And I know that takes a lot of money, but you also have to have your boring day job, which we all, of course, have, your grind job, your whatever. And then you need to have something that, like, sure, maybe you make a little money off of it, but it's something that you find fun. You don't have to, you know.
I took a acting business class the other day that was focused on finances and stuff. And one of the biggest focuses was having a side hustle that is creatively fulfilling and that is helping you make money and stuff that is, I don't know, keeping you moving, you know?
Yeah.
And that is that exact same thing, you know? So
just makes the days bit go by faster, even if your brain is like, you know, like even for you and your podcast and like this, like, you know, we aren't getting paid. I'm not monetizing at all with this because I have not many people listen to this, but I still do it for fun because I think it's fun to chat with people and have the conversation. And we spend these hours editing and uploading and doing the fun. But it's like, I have nothing else to do because I only get, you know, if these few hours at this work job, and then I do 2 hours over here and three over here, and that's maybe once a month on that one. And, you know, so you might as well do something for fun so you're not just sitting. And the other thing is, living in the city, you can't do, I mean, there are plenty of free things to do in the city, but it also is up to the discretion of the city of whether you can do that or not. So, you know, you got to find things that you can also do when you're just sitting in your apartment and having fun and whatever that is.
It's a tough world out there, but it's those things that really keep you going and keep your heart happy and stuff. So I definitely always recommend that folks try and do that if they can, especially like all artists, like you got to do that. Actors especially, like, find that side thing that you can, I don't know, just enjoy, especially when you feel like you're not actually doing the thing, which, spoiler alert, you are. Being a working actor is just showing up to auditions and updating your resume and looking for auditions. Like, that is all you working as an actor. That is you working as a professional actor. But when you're not booking often, it's easy to feel like you are not actually an actor. Mm-hmm. You're not a professional actor. Your feelings aren't valid in that regard. And, you know, that's just not the truth. So when you have these side things, it's also helpful it's like a helpful reminder to keep you on that path of, oh yeah, no, I am actually still doing the thing. And, you know, whatever is meant for you won't pass you by. Mm-hmm. So that's, it keeps you afloat.
It does. And like, also, it's really, really fun to say that you make money off of something that you find fun to do. I love photography. I am horrible sometimes because I'm like, you know what? I just want to photograph something, so I'll do it for free, which I'm not allowed to do anymore. I keep telling myself that I'm not allowed to do that anymore. But I mean, like, you know, at this point, I still go to shows and I bring my camera with me and I photograph bows, and people in the show can take them and use them and post them and whatever. And I edit them and I do all the stuff to them that I do normally. And that's just my fun little thing that I do. Granted, I also still make money off of it, you know, doing different things. But it's always really cool to be like, yeah, I have this really fun thing that I love doing, whether that's collaging or crocheting or knitting or editing or making videos and TikToks and dancing and whatever. And it's like the most fun thing that I've ever done. And I make a little, like, 2 cents out of it. It's great.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh my God, everyone, keep on keeping on and do those things, you know?
And don't forget that a lot of your favorite folks on the screen also waited till they were 40, 50, 60 to have their big break. So
I don't know why I received this email yesterday, but I received an email of a Reddit thread from Reddit. I, once again, not a frequent participator in the world of Reddit, but it was this quite targeted email of a thread that was like, some 17-year-old girl was like, I thought I might want to try acting and maybe going to school for it. And my parents said that because I haven't trained yet, I'm way too late to the game and it's too cutthroat and all of that stuff. And like, first of all, that was atrocious and so sad to read. But then like, people in the comments were like, yeah, maybe you can try it, but like, make sure you have a second option and whatnot, and all stuff like that. And I was like, no, go do it. Go take, like, go give it a shot. Put in the work. I'm rooting for you, you know? Yeah. So, I don't know. We live in a society where people discourage other people from pursuing their dreams just because they didn't, you know, because they have a safe route, which like, once, like, the safe route is valid if that's what, I don't know, helps you feel okay in life, but you can't yuck other people's yum like that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well,
I love like the Jessica Vosk story. She was, what was she doing? She was like doing things with numbers and money and math. And then all of a sudden she booked Broadway. And that was like one of the wilder stories of like, yeah, she literally was not performing for like 10 years. And then all of a sudden she booked this one thing. There are a lot of shows out now that, I mean, Abbott Elementary always comes to mind because William Stanford Davis, I believe is his name. I'm so sorry, Stan. I just know of you as Stan because all your castmates call you Stan. But I mean, like, this is the role of his lifetime. And he's like 70 or 60, 70. He plays Mr. Johnson.
The janitor?
Uh-huh.
So good.
Lisa Ann Walter says the same thing. She did, I mean, like, the last thing that we really, really know her in is Chessie from The Parent Trap. And that was 98. No, 2003, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe before that. I think it's the 90s.
Was it 98? 97, 98?
I was born in 97, so like, it was definitely happening around the time of my birth. But yeah, oh, it's never too late. It's never too late. We're playing pretend, you know? You can do that at any freaking age. As long as you have that imagination and stuff, which unfortunately some people don't. And those are the people that are discouraging from doing it. So you just, and it's hard to tune that out when you're 17 years old, especially when it's coming from the authority figures that you've lived most of your life by, you know, mm-hmm. Like that was definitely my experience. I didn't go into college studying theater. I went undeclared because it was a scary thing, and my parents didn't want to pay for theater school, but I was like, okay, I'll just like go in and try something. And the thing I was best at other than that was chemistry. So I went and I tried chemistry and I failed my very first
Oh
class ever in life, which was indeed college chemistry. But I got cast in a musical thanks to Miss Catherine Garrity. And that's kind of what turned everything around for me. And I was like, okay, I need to just follow my heart here because, quite frankly, there's nothing else that brings me this joy and nothing else that I'd rather spend my life doing, you know?
no. Yeah. There you go. All right, we're coming to the time where
Oh,
I'm gonna
gee.
give you
That was
your
so, that felt like so fast.
yeah. We're coming to a time, so I'm starting this new thing to all of our listeners. I've been listening to this really fun podcast because I'm a nerd and I love history. It is called You're Dead to Me. It's a BBC podcast. And
Sound of that, no
I
matter the
know.
context.
Greg, I believe is his name. He is the host of the show and he chooses a topic, whatever topic it's going to be, something history related, but towards the end of the episode, he gives the historian 2 minutes of uninterrupted time for them to just talk about literally whatever they want. They have exactly 2 minutes. So I have a timer going. You have 2 minutes, and your time starts now.
Oh my God, this is so much pressure. Something that I'm really passionate about in life is lawn mowing. I love lawn mowing. I love mowing the lawn, and I'm so good at it. I am so freaking good at it. But it is like that is an artistic outlet, you know? Like I'm literally making art with grass. And like, yeah, it started off as a chore that I didn't want to do at first, but then I also discovered show tunes, so I was just singing on the lawnmower, thinking that nobody could hear me when the whole neighborhood certainly can, squelching my heart out. But then, like once I got like good at it and got my wherewithal with it, I started doing the diagonal lines and all that stuff. Like I was like trimming the hedges and stuff. Like it was beautiful. And like that's one of the hardest parts of living in the city is that I don't have my lawn mowing, you know? And like I started like doing it for people and making money off of it. And it was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing. But once again, like that was a performance opportunity for me to just hop on my good old John Deere and just sing my heart out. And the neighbors would all compliment me, but I think they would talk about me behind my back, which is fine. I don't care. I loved it. And I was talking about it on last week's episode that I do have that on my resume because my acting resume under special skills. Because listen, if anyone wants to hire me and also hire me to tend the grounds while I am at your respective theater, I would 100% do that. I might even do it for free, you know? And like, I don't know. I've also like when looking for second jobs and stuff, I'm like, I wonder what the logistics are to like mow the lawns of Central Park. You know, like I don't want to be a full-fledged whatever the person is. Why can't I a landscaper? Like I don't want to be a full-fledged landscaper. I just want to mow the lawns and if they want to pay me to do that. Oh my God. I can only imagine what those lawnmowers are like and just zooming through those, like, I don't know, zooming through sheep's meadow on a lawnmower. Oh wow, that would be so freaking cool.
There
Oh
you go.
yeah. Thank you for giving me that. I needed to let that out.
Hey, you know, we all have our fun little things that we're like, you know what? I would do this for free
Yeah, that's
at this
that.
point. All
Heard.
right, so we have a few minutes left. I did everything except for ask the question of do you have any favorite Sondheim shows or songs?
Sondheim specifically. Great question. I would say, I'll talk about this because it was introduced to me recently and I'm kind of obsessed with it. Have you ever seen The Evening Primrose?
No, but I know what it is. I know bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, it's just this weird television special musical situation that Sondheim worked on back in the days of black and white and stuff. Actually, I don't remember if it was black and white. That I might be making that up. But it's just about it's about a department store where like some of the mannequins are actually just live people that like left their lives to just be mannequins and like create this weird underground society. And one of my teachers like assigned me a song from that, and I was like, well, I should probably watch it. And it was so wild. Like it was one of those wild things where I'm like, how did like why did anyone think to do this? But I am so grateful that they did. It is absolutely bonkers. And it's only been in my life for like a month and a half now, but I'm absolutely obsessed with it. It is so good. It is like 45 minutes long on YouTube. Everyone go watch it 100%. But it's like, I don't know. It's just weird. It's one of those things that's weird, and it was just completely accepted for being weird, and it makes me feel at home and welcomed in this world, you know?
If you are in, at least from what I know, a lot of people know the song I Remember, which is Bernadette Peters, right? Sings that?
No, I don't think so.
There's a version of Bernadette Peters
Might have
singing
sang
it.
it at one point, yeah.
There's also a version of Megan Mullally singing it on one of her, if you know who Megan Mullally is, she has a few albums that she's come out with early. And she has a cover of I Remember. But I use that song. We use that song in music theory,
Oh,
one of my
okay.
music theory classes, which I learned nothing from. But it's a very pretty song.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I would say that's like my most Sondheim obsessed thing right now. But like, I don't know. I love Sweeney to death, love Into the Woods. You know, I would say like, I don't know, Sondheim like dream role wise is like literally everyone in Into the Woods. Like, I would love to play every single one of those people. I would love to do it a million times and just dive into all of that. And it's
I
just
think you
brilliant.
should just do like a one person into the
Oh.
woods.
You know, you might be right, but that's a lot. That would be a lot.
It
And I'm not.
is. You'd have to pull like a Gutenberg style,
Yeah.
like with all the hats and everything.
Listen, if someone wants to pay to produce that and like fund my life around that, 100%, I will put my entire heart and soul in that. But I can't get that going by myself right now. Are you kidding me? I only ate half of my bowl of Annie's mac and cheese tonight because I was like running to get here. I can't do a whole Into the Woods by myself, but I'm open to the idea of doing it eventually.
There you go. All right, last question before we leave. Since this is called I'll Drink to That, which is where the Sondheim part of this comes in, the other part of it is the drinking part. Imagine that we're at a party or a coffee shop, whatever floats your boat, and I'm off to go get us drinks. What is your go-to drink? It's the drink that I know for a fact you are always gonna love.
Okay, I mean, it depends on the context. If it is a situation where we want to get schwasty, it will be a gin and ginger ale. And that started, it used to be a gin and tonic because I don't really love gin. I don't really love the taste of gin. And a gin and
Not a
tonic
gin person.
just a taller glass of gin that's a little bit more palatable. But it gets me going for sure. And I drink it slowly because of that, so it's cost effective. But then I started putting in ginger ale and I freaking just guzzle those down. So like if it's a schwasty situation, it would be gin and ginger ale. But like otherwise, I love a cucumber mule on a nice hot summer's day, you know, or a cucumber any cocktail really gets me going. I don't know why, but yeah, that's my answer. I also don't
Cucumber
drink
is
coffee.
very, cucumber's like
Not.
very refreshing.
It's so good. But yeah, I don't like coffee, so I'm not much use at a coffee shop. I just go for social being in the loop of things, but I don't participate really well in coffee culture. Oh
Well, there
well.
you go.
Answer. Bam.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was
All right.
a pleasure, you know? I love a chance to just talk to people. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye to the.
Bye. Oh wait. Do you
Oh,
want
I'm so
to
done.
put your socials, your
Oh my
ads, your
God, that's such
tags?
a great idea that I didn't even think of.
I always forget to ask people that.
You can find me on most social media platforms at Brennan Stefanik. And you can follow from BA to Broadway on most social media. The handle is BA to Broadway. And yeah, go check it out. Shoot me some messages. Shoot me some comments. You know, I'm happy to chat with anybody that wants to chat, you know?
Nice.
Thank
Okay,
you.
this is now for reals. Adios, at least for the podcast part of it.
Okay, bye.